Well, good day to everyone. It is great to be with you as we start a new series today, and I'm excited about it. I've been given the title of Abounding in Thanksgiving. And we're going to be talking about Thanksgiving, but I don't want you to think we're doing it just because we're approaching the season of Thanksgiving, of which we celebrate here in the U.S. in a couple of weeks. As I prayed about what to teach, the Lord just brought to memory a lot of things that are going on in the world, a lot of turmoil, wars in Europe, infightings here within the U.S. Here in Middle Georgia, we've experienced some record numbers of homicides, and that seems to be a way all over the nation. Great division, particularly in the political arenas that we're in, and also even in some churches, we've seen some division just take root. We've also seen financial uncertainties. And finally, we've seen this virus thing continue on, just one morph after another. And I believe it's because of those things that the Lord wants us to enhance, to develop, to improve our attitude of having this attitude of gratitude for all the things we've been given, particularly as we come out of this study of healing in the redemption and seeing the work of redemption at work both in our soulish realm and in our physical body, just as we've been given a new spirit. So let's pray as we get started today, and we're going to jump into it because I'm just convinced that as you receive what the Lord is giving us in these next several weeks, that you're going to be taken to a higher plane in your worship, that you're going to be taken to a higher plane not only in your praise and worship, but in your receiving, because you're just going to see how important it is that we continue in thanksgiving, that we have this idea that we are to abound with it, to overflow with thanksgiving because of what He's done for us, just what we've been studying in redemption. So let's pray as we get started. Father, thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the bread You're about to provide to us. We say that we will hear carefully, that we will open our hearts to receive what You have, and we shall be changed by Your Word working in us. Now go with me to Colossians, the second chapter, and I'm going to read to you verses 6, 7, and 8, and then we're going to come back and talk about verse 6 and verse 7 and verse 8, not necessarily in that order. So it starts in verse 6, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude." Overflowing with gratitude. New King James says abounding in thanksgiving. And then verse 8. And you might think this is a different subject, but you're going to see some relationships here. "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy or empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ." So verse 6, "As you therefore have received Jesus," so we have received His work, we've been redeemed, we've been separated to Him from the world. And it says, now's the time to walk in Him. Not to walk in the world, but to walk in Him. So these things that we just enumerated, we don't have to have them over us. They ought to be under us. We ought to be walking over them. And I believe that you're going to see that when we do that, that you're going to be put in a position where you begin to just abound in thanksgiving for all Jesus has truly done for us. The Complete Jewish Bible says it this way, and I think this is important. "Therefore, just as you received the Messiah Yeshua as Lord, keep living your life united with Him." Sharing that, united with Him. Now, if we are united with Him, what have we seen? What have we talked about before? All He has is what? In our spirit. We are one spirit, been made one spirit with Him. So how did He walk? He walked in love and He walked in faith. And you're going to see how when we do those two things, gratitude just rises up. Now, it's interesting because we start out talking about this position we've been placed in Him. And that's really where we've come from. As we've been talking about, we have been redeemed, separated from the world unto Him, made a holy people. Now, if I look down at verse 9 here, it says in this same chapter, it says, "For in Him," just what we've been talking about, right? "All the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form." Now, if I'm one with Him, if I'm in union with Him, what does that say about me? Well, I believe it says that all the fullness of God, basically His Holy Spirit, dwelt in Him in bodily form. And so we've been made one with Him. And what? We share that. And isn't that exactly what verse 10 tells us? "And in Him you have been made complete." And you could translate that. In fact, it's in my notes in my column that the Bible provides here in New American Standard. You could read that, "And in Him you have been made full." So the fullness of His deity now dwells in your spirit as one spirit. And then it goes on and says, "And He is the head over all rule and authority." So the Amplified, I think, gives us a better idea of what we have in this in Him position that verse 6 is talking about that we're to walk in. "And you are in Him, made full and having come to fullness of life." And then it does its amplification. "In Christ you too are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and reach full spiritual stature." So what we see here is that all we have in this in Him position and is just taken to a different level when we understand verses 9 and 10, the fullness of it. So that just says to me, we ought to be able to walk as Jesus walked, full of love and full of faith. Now let's go to verse 7. And it's a continuation now, talking about walking in Him. So this is how we are to walk in Him. This is what is happening to us. "So walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed." And then here's the phrase at the end, "and overflowing with gratitude." Now, let's talk about what this verse is telling us, some key things, some key words that it's telling us here. It says that we are what? Firmly rooted. Now, that says to me that there is a depth of relationship that we ought to have with Him. We ought to be very strong in our trust and very strong in our confidence. And we ought to be this strong if we're firmly rooted. So strong that when we see things that don't line up with what the Word says, we're not moved by those things. So strong that we see ourselves, as you're going to hear, as overcomers. And also, I just want to say, we've got to be strong in this spiritual sense if we want to see things in the physical sense, that trust and confidence. Now, that reminds me of an explanation that I heard given years ago concerning a dam. How strong a dam must be that it holds back great bodies of water to build huge lakes. And I believe I'm correct in remembering that the Shasta Dam out in California, in Northern California, is about 300 feet high of concrete that you can see. What strength that must be. But guess what? That's not the strength of the dam. The strength of the dam is the 500 to 600 feet below the levels of the water and of the earth that you don't see. That's what gives it strength. That's the same way with you and I. This inner strength that we have, this in our spirit, that allows our spirit and our soul to dominate this flesh. That's what we're after. Proverbs 18, verse 14, I believe it is, and this is in the Amplified, it says, "The strong spirit of a man sustains him during times of trouble. But it goes on to say that who can stand a weak spirit? So we see here, it is so important that we get firmly rooted and that we're strong in what we have here. The second phrase is that we are established. King James, I believe, says that. Or established is what you and I might say. To be stable. Now, some translations actually use the word that we're strengthened, that we are strong. So we see this being established as being strong. And so the question is, do you see yourself that way? Let me phrase the question differently. Do you see yourself that way in your union with Him? Because I certainly don't see myself strong in that sense of myself at all. That strength comes from the great love that we've begun to experience in this depth of relationship. And how does our faith work? Because it's through love that our faith works, and all we receive must come through faith. And when we start seeing those things, then that's when we are going to abound. Literally, the word means there, and this is the next phrase I wanted to study, superabound in thanksgiving. Now, superabound, abound, literally means, the Strong says, to be in excess. So we have an abundance. We might say we have an overflow. Listen to some other translations for verse 7. The Bible in basic English says, rooted and based together. Now, doesn't that sound like we're firm, that we're not going to get knocked off our feet? Rooted and based together in Him, strong in the faith which the teaching gave you. That's the Word, the work of the Word in you. And then it says, giving praise to God at all times. So we see this first tie here of giving thanks being equated with praise. The New Living Translation, let your roots grow down into Him, and let your lives be built on Him. So walk in Him. We might, as we saw in verse 6, then your faith will grow strong in the truth which you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Overflow with thankfulness. That's what we are to begin to experience when we are what? Walking in this union with Him. Now, I want to read verse 8 because I believe it gives us some real insight into what the battle is that we're facing. Verse 8 says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to tradition of this world, according to the elementary principles, tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Now, takes you captive. How's it going to do that? It's interesting in that it doesn't start talking about disease and oppression and all those kind of things. It talks about takes you captive through philosophy and deception. In other words, it's going to start trying to impact your mind, just as we've seen and studied before. Just like traditions do, wrong traditions that don't line up, they also work in our mind. And so do the principles of this world, which we're told to renew our mind so that we don't become conformed to those principles, that pattern or way of thinking. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, the 10th verse, really gives us the same insight. As it says, again in New American Standard, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. And then it talks about those fortresses. Destroying speculations and every lofty thing which is raised up against the knowledge of God. And we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So we see here that the way the devil is going to try to attack us, to keep us from walking in Him, from being rooted and grounded and built up, from overflowing with thanksgiving. And that's really what he's after, to try to take that praise from our mouth, because praise, as we know, steals the avenger. And so we just need to understand that. That's what he's trying to steal. The Word, which the revelation of the Word ought to produce an overflow of thanksgiving, an abundance of it in our lives. Now, I want to go all the way back to the 7th verse, and I want to read you the Message translation for it. You're deeply rooted in Him. You're well constructed upon Him. He is a cornerstone, a firm foundation. You know your way around the faith. Now, I'm going to compliment you because you're willing to come and study and build yourself up in the Word and let the Word begin to work in you. And then it says, and I think this is key for us all, now do what you've been taught. So it's not enough just to be taught in the Word. We've got to become what? Doers of the Word. It goes on and says, school's out. Quit studying the subject and start living it. I like that. And then it says, and let, and I would just say allow, because this is what the Spirit is going to produce if we allow it to. Allow your living and to spill over into thanksgiving. And let your living spill over into thanksgiving. That just looks like a natural progression to me. Thus, we're talking about here abounding or overflowing in thanksgiving. But today I really want to focus on this giving of thanks. What does this mean? Let me say first that it's not just an emotion. It is an act or it is an expression. Thanks. Here's what Webster says about it. Expression of gratitude. Doesn't say thoughts of gratitude, does it? Expression of gratitude for favor or kindness received. How much favor have you received? How much kindness have you received? Forget none of His benefits. If we think about Psalm 103 now, there are benefits to being in Him. Then the word thanksgiving has this definition: public acknowledgement or celebration of goodness. Not my goodness, but His goodness that He is giving to us in abundance. So what do we see? Clearly, what do we see? It's much more than just being, oh, I'm happy to have something. It is a force that flows from you when you give thanks to Him for what He's done and what He has provided you. Think about healing. We never see the people glorifying God or praising God when people are sick. But throughout Jesus' ministry, what do we see? God is glorified. Jesus is lifted up as Messiah as they see His works when people were healed. That ought to be the same results that we have, that we see. So I would purport to you that there are three key areas or key components of giving thanks. The first is we got to remember. We've got to see and have it come alive in us what we are thankful for. We get an example of that when Jesus said, let's go to the other side, and they started talking about why is it that you brought no bread, and they thought He was upset about the bread. And then He finally tells them, can't you see? Can't you hear? And He was talking about the miracle He had just worked. And then He said what? Can't you remember? So we must not take for granted. We must not let it just slip our mind of what the Lord has done, of Him being the source for all good things that we have. And then second, once we know that, we must be grateful. We must be that way because we know who provided it, and we know it comes through His love, His mercy, and I'll say, grace as well. But just because we do one and two, what have we seen? That's not the definition of giving of thanks. We must express or acknowledge this gratefulness that is in our heart that is just filling us with that joy. I would say to you, giving of thanks is a major way we glorify God, that we magnify Him, that we praise Him, that we worship Him. And I think there is much, much more that we can attain as we move in this. I might have mentioned this earlier, but I want to make sure that I say it one more time. I think it's a major way. In fact, I think it may be the highest form of praise that we can give. Again, more than just happy to have something. The gratitude, the thankfulness, the love that we're giving back to Him, our magnifying what He's done for us, in us, through us, all of that, I believe, just flows forth to Him in abundance as we give Him thanks. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I want to look at two verses, 56, but mainly verse 57 is where we're going to focus. And if we really start back at the end of 54, that's okay too. The last phrase says there, death is swallowed up in victory. And then verse 55 reads, O death, where is your victory? And my New American Standard says, O death, I think some translations say grave, where is your sting? And then 56 goes on and says, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. And we've seen a lot of that as we talked about redeemed. But look at 57, talking about death, talking about the power of sin, and then it starts out, but thanks be to God. What is the first attitude that we ought to have? Thankfulness for what he's done, for that work of redemption. And look what it says. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. New King James says it very similar, but thanks be to God who gives the victory, us the victory, through our Lord Jesus. The Young's Literal says, and to God, thanks. Now that seems almost inadequate to me or insufficient to express what's just been talked about, the grave, death, the sting of sin, the impact of sin, and the fact that we've been delivered from it. But again, what is to be our first response? In this verse, it's, but thanks to God. And then the Young's Literal continues by saying, and to God thanks, to him who is giving us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to come back and look at that phrase, is giving us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The root word here for thanks and thanksgiving, both, is the Greek word charis or charis, depending on how proper you want to be in saying it. And it literally means graciousness of a manner or act. And it's translated grace, favor, and thanks. Now that's really interesting to me, that it's translated thanks, but it's also translated grace and favor. And it's because of that grace and favor toward us that we do what? That we give thanks graciously in abundance back to him. Grace and favor was a free gift. And you know what? That's exactly what we should be doing with our thanks, with our thankfulness, with our thanksgiving. Having that gracious attitude for what's given. You know, it's interesting. Well, I can remember my grandparents. Maybe they wouldn't say, who's going to say the blessing, but they would say, who's going to say grace? And what did we do in that? We gave thanks for the food that we were about to receive. We gave thanks for providing it to the one who has provided it for us. Isn't it interesting that the same word is used for giving and for being thankful back to the Father for it. It's just, again, it is that whole attitude of graciousness. He's gracious to give it to him. We ought to be gracious to receive it, but immediately then what? Gracious to give it right back, give thanks right back to him. The second phrase that we saw in there is, who is giving? Is giving. Now, that is a verb form that is continuous, or I might say prolonged. And what does it imply? It implies that he gave, he gives now, and he will give. And that's all because of what? The cross, the work of redemption. And our part is just to receive. So then that provokes a thought in my mind. So am I to give thanks for just the past things that he's done, that have manifested, or for those current things that I have just received that have manifested? Or should I be giving thanks for what is yet to manifest, but what I have received through faith from his promises, even though I haven't seen it in my flesh yet, even though it hasn't manifested in this carnal realm? Now, I believe we're talking about all three. But to receive something we haven't seen, take it as ours, requires what? It requires faith. It requires having confidence in Him and His Word to deliver on the promise. And we're told so often that this issue of faith, that the just will live by faith. 4 times in the New Testament, once in the Old Testament, it says that. The just shall live by faith. So the question then is, when do we begin giving thanks for what we receive? When do we begin having this attitude of gratitude? Well, let's just look at Mark 11. Now, don't you say I know it, because there's more here every time we read this. And I want to read just verse 24 for time's sake. Therefore, I say to you, this is Jesus talking to you and I, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them. When do I believe that I have received them? When I've asked. And then look at what it says here. And they shall be granted to you. So before we see it with our physical eyes, we are told to believe that we have received. So if we have received, even by faith, what should we begin to do for this grace that God is showing us? Give thanks. Have an expression of gratitude back to Him. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So we must walk in faith. Walking in Him is walking, as I said earlier, in love and in faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. And you know, some people will say, well, I believe that He is, and they just stop there. Well, the demons say believe, but and they even shudder at it. But for us just to believe is not sufficient here. It says, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Now, when I hear a rewarder, what do I think about? I think someone who is very gracious. For us, as we believe what He said He's going to give us, and then He begins to pour out to us. That is the benefit of being a child of God. That is a benefit of being a joint heir with Jesus. And isn't that exactly what Psalm 103 tells us? Forget none of His benefits, talking about then the forgiveness of sin, and then talking about even healing. So again, the just shall live by faith. And when we live by faith, Scripture tells us that we call things that be not as though they were. And if we're doing that, then do you see we ought to be expressing gratitude right back to Him? If you believe it's yours, then you must begin to give thanks for it at that point. You know, there is no other way to live. All we get from God, all that we receive from Him, must come via grace and faith. Romans 4:16 tells us this, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise may be sure to all seed, meaning that it's not about us working it, but everyone who believes is qualified to receive. Now, the Lord, and I want to just begin to share about the importance of this giving of thanks. A teacher that I respect was praying once, and he talks about the fact that the Lord asked him, do you want to know how to receive more from me? And he said, I didn't even have to think about it. I said, yes, Lord, certainly. And here's what the Lord told him. Then cultivate a lifestyle of thanksgiving. Now, we're going to show you some scriptures later on in this study where you're going to be able to see more thanksgiving, more grace, more opportunities to receive, more thanksgiving, and you're just going to see how this builds and builds. You know, several weeks ago, I was doing some studying on my own, and we were praying about some things concerning the home we were building. And the Lord just spoke to us through a minister, and He said, how you give thanks is going to be equivalent to how you receive. And I just have not been able to get that out of my mind. So we have begun being so thankful and expressing it And that's really what we weren't doing enough, particularly as things came that maybe disappointed us a little bit. So cultivating a lifestyle. And how do we do this? It all goes back to getting this first concept of we're in Him. Everything that Jesus has, that fullness, I'm united with Him. Now I want to go to Psalm 23 with you. And here we're going to be talking about in this psalm, easy or hard to give thanks. So it starts out, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I shall not have any lack. And then it says, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. So I want to ask you the question, is it hard when you think about lying down in green pastures? The Lord making that to you, the Lord providing so that we have no lack. Is it hard to give thanks when He's pouring those things out and you're seeing it come to pass in your life? No, not at all. But then there's a slight shift. It says in verse 4, for though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I want to say here that when I read this, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, as you have received Jesus, so walk in Him. Just as He walked through this, you and I are walking through this, and He's been there. He knows how we can overcome it. And look what it says, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So when we get things of evil nature hitting us, is there an attitude or an expression of giving thanks that comes forth from us? Is it a little harder? Maybe so. Verse 5 says, Thou prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. So I'm face to face with the one who is an enemy to us. And so I would ask the question then, is it hard when you're faced going through a trial like this and the enemy seems to be larger than the problem, seems to be larger than the solution or larger than your God, which we just cannot allow to happen to us? And we all face that. We're all challenged with that. No, it's not as easy as when that grace is just pouring liberally and you're perceiving it in this flesh. But I want to tell you, when you finish this verse, it says, He's anointed our head with oil, our cup overflows, goodness and mercy, or His loving kindness, will follow me. That means chase you down all the days of your life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, when we get this enemy thing started at us, what do we tend to do? We start trying to do something on our own. When if we would just go back to the spiritual principle that we're seeing here of abounding in grace, abounding in graciousness, giving of thanks toward Him for His grace and mercy that's been poured out on us, then we see how this begins to position us to walk through this just like Jesus did. And again, you're going to see a great correlation between giving of thanks and receiving and being thankful again and receiving and giving thanks. It just compounds one upon the other. Now, go back to 1 Corinthians 15:57. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God. And why? Are we giving thanks? Because it is Him who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, where are we? I'm talking about in Him again. We saw that in redemption, even though we didn't study it directly. We saw it over and over. And that's really where we started. If I look back at Colossians at 9, 10, and 11, each of those verses starts in this way. For in Him all the fullness, and in Him you've been made complete. And in Him, verse 11, which we didn't read, verse 12 even talks about being raised up with Him through faith. So the reason I'm saying this is that for you to begin to have this attitude of gratitude, your relationship and seeing your personal favor that is coming from Him to you must rise up. Now, the word victory here is important. It's the word Nikos, N-I-K-O-S. It's where the word Nike came from. And it literally means a conquest or a triumph. And, you know, that's why the name was picked. This is not uncommon for companies I've studied some, particularly in Japan, who would use Japanese words similar to this. They came up with this word Nike because it was their plan to dominate the shoe industry. Let that sink in. In him, the circumstances are not to dominate us. We're to dominate him. And how does it come? We get the victory through his victory, through our union with him, and thus my reality of my identity in him is where I believe this Thanksgiving really starts with. Think about this. Now just think about this. Do you see yourself in absolute union with him? And don't start asking, am I good enough? Because if you do, you need to go back and really listen to the last few sessions of the previous series. Saints, this in itself, this being positioned in him, as we've seen over and over today, it in and of itself is a reason for us to be in a continual state of thanksgiving. This is who you are. And then we can begin to tie these victories to thanksgiving as we see these promises begin to come about in our life. And we will begin then to abound in thanksgiving. Now, I want to close with a question, and I'm going to pose this to you, and then I'm going to just stop for the day. I'm not even going to answer it, but I want you to think about it. Is there a state or is there degrees of thanksgiving? Or is it binary? Meaning what? Meaning, am I thankful? Or if I'm not thankful, does that mean I'm unthankful? Or not thankful? And this is a subject that we're going to start with next week, because I want you to see the importance of walking in thanksgiving and getting to a point where we are giving thanks continually and abounding in it, that thanksgiving overflows in our life. So I hope you see kind of a direction that the Lord is setting for us here. And again, I'm going to tell you, it's going to take you to a higher plane as we walk in it, in him. Thanks for joining us today.